Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Tanzania would like to thank the FAO-WHO Trust Fund for capacity building and enhancing participation of Tanzania and other delegations from developing countries to the CODEX meetings. These have really improved a great deal in our national CODEX activities at home and also in participation at international meetings. We think this effort should be strengthened as it is the right way of involving developing countries more in the CODEX process. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanzania, for the observation. Antigua and Barbuda, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like to thank the CODEX Trust Fund for their efforts over the years, and I can certainly assure that it has certainly helped and assisted in publicizing the importance of the work of CODEX and getting a greater capacity in terms of CODEX awareness and the work itself in Ireland. And I would like to therefore also encourage any efforts that the parent bodies could put into continuing this process. And in that regard, I would really like to thank all the efforts of all the donors, as well as all the prospective donors, whether they be from developed or developing countries, because it's a very important effort. And I think that in the long run, yes, like everything else, it takes time to see the benefits, but the benefits are slowly growing. And so I would just like to say thanks and really to add Antigua and Barbuda's voice to the support for the continuance of the Trust Fund. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We note your observation. Morocco, please, you have the floor, sir.
Merci, Madame la Présidente. Nous souhaitons à notre tour remercier le Fonds fiduciaire, l'IFAO, l'OMS et les pays donateurs des efforts qui sont consentis pour permettre aux pays en développement de renforcer leur participation et leur rôle au niveau du CODEX. Nous avons beaucoup apprécié aussi les progrès réalisés depuis la création du Fonds par rapport à la gestion et à l'administration du Fonds. Je voudrais également remercier les fonds pour avoir pris l'initiative de diversifier les activités en organisant le cours sur le CODEX. Je fais allusion au cours qui a été organisé pour la région d'Afrique, au Maroc. Ce cours a été, de l'avis de tout le monde, très, très bénéfique. Et non seulement donc, il a permis aux participants de mieux connaître le CODEX, donc pour renforcer leur participation au sein du travaux du CODEX, mais il a permis également, et ça c'est important, de permettre la participation d'un grand nombre de pays à la réunion de coordination. Donc quand le cours est organisé à la veille de la session des comités de coordination, ça permet également de garantir la participation des pays. C'est comme ça d'ailleurs que lors de la 17e session du comité de coordination Afrique, on a eu une participation record de pays et de délégations. Je voudrais également rappeler, je l'avais signalé plusieurs reprises, que la région d'Afrique dispose aujourd'hui d'un plan stratégique pour le renforcement de la participation au CODEX. Et donc, je pense qu'il faut prendre ce plan stratégique comme un document important pour que le fonds puisse s'appuyer sur ce projet, sur ce plan, pardon, pour apporter l'appui nécessaire. Et nous avons toujours dit qu'il faudrait envisager de renforcer la participation, non seulement par la présence des délégués aux réunions, mais également à travers la formation. Il faudrait également envisager d'autres activités. Je crois que nous pourrons revenir à ces questions demain, lors de la réunion prévue dans l'après-midi. Merci, madame.
Thank you, Morocco, for the observation. Central African Republic.
Merci, madame la présidente. Tout d'abord, je remercie le Fonds fiduciaire pour avoir invité quand même la République centrafricaine à prendre part à toutes ces réunions. Et je m'en vais juste vous dire que notre pays est un de la RCA par rapport à ce que la coordination Afrique peut faire, mais la coordination Afrique aura peut-être dans nos sessions à comprendre que la RCA est un pays un peu particulier actuellement, puisque c'est un pays situé au centre même de l'Afrique, et alors de tout ce qui est frontière, pratiquement toutes les frontières de la RCA sont perturbées par les troubles sociaux, non seulement les troubles sociaux, mais aussi la pénétration des animaux qui viennent des autres pays en désordre, des aliments qui viennent de tous côtés en désordre. Et c'est un pays vraiment dans des difficultés énormes en matière de contrôle de qualité des aliments. Et depuis le début de cette session, je ne fais que répéter cela, et j'ai toujours soutenu tous les délégués qui parlent au nom du pays de tiers-monde, qui soutiennent vraiment les actions que peuvent mener le Codex Alimentarius pour nous, pays du tiers-monde, et la République centrafricaine, je m'en vais encore vous dire que c'est un pays au centre, mais vraiment perturbé au niveau de toutes les frontières. Nous sommes un pays d'élevage, et nous sommes très peu nombreux, 3 millions d'habitants, mais nous avons plus de 3 millions de bovins, uniquement devant déjà, sans compter les caprins qui vont sur des millions aussi, et la volaille de grains chez les villageois. Et nous souhaiterions que, du point de vue sanitaire, du point de vue justement alimentation, par rapport à tous ces événements qui arrivent, la population soit soutenue. Et nous comptons beaucoup sur le fonds fiduciaire. Et c'est à ce titre que moi, personnellement, qui parle, je suis en contact permanent avec l'OMS à Bangui, je sois dans leur bureau pour leur parler, parce qu'ils connaissent sur place les réalités de la RCA. Et justement, je profite de cette tribune pour dire que vraiment, le fonds fiduciaire, il faut penser à nous pour les infrastructures, surtout d'analyse des aliments. Nous en avons vraiment besoin. À côté de ça, parce que l'OIE tout à l'heure avait aidé déjà la RCA à avoir des structures pour le contrôle des maladies animales. Mais nous n'avons pas à côté, il faut à côté de cela, des infrastructures pour l'analyse des sous-produits. Et ça, nous en avons vraiment, vraiment besoin. Je vous en prie, je vous remercie, Madame la Présidente, pour ne pas tellement utiliser votre temps. Merci.
Thank you for your observation. Cameroon, you have the floor, please.
Madam Chair, I thank you for giving the floor. The Cameroon welcomes this third report on the trust fund to enhance the participation of developing countries to the CODES work. And also, I know that it is important that officially recognition be given to those who contribute to this fund. And Cameroon wishes to join its voice to the voice of those who have already done that, to recognize that and thank those countries for the effort made so far. We acknowledge the result of the biennial review, which was undertaken this year. I think it should be a 12-year program, and we think that this biennial review sets the base of some of the issues probably that we may be called to tackle in the next future. And we think that based on the questionnaire, it may not give us a true picture of how the trust fund should operate. And we wish to recommend that after the second biennial review, we should start thinking of at least a midterm evaluation of the trust fund, so that we have a better picture of all the problems around. But nevertheless, Madam Chair, we note that there is an added value of the trust fund to the participation of developing countries to CODES work. That is undeniable, and we recognize that. But we need to know what is now best needed. Do we need to continue to enhance participation or to put more emphasis in capacity building. Because these are the two issues. And if, from our humble proposal, we can look, try to see whether two-thirds of the contribution could go to capacity building and one-third to ensure participation or attendance, let me call it that way, attendance to CODES meeting, I think that will be, that will help us a lot. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Cameroon. I have several countries still on the list. I'd like to kindly request delegates to be brief in the intervention. Next, Costa Rica, please. You have the floor.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Primero, agradecer al fondo por la colaboración con nuestro país, por supuesto, a todos los países donantes. Sin embargo, Costa Rica quiere presentar la siguiente preocupación. De acuerdo con la política de graduación, podemos llamarle, el fondo empezó a financiar de tres reuniones hasta cada año menos. Costa Rica ya este año 2007 no recibió ningún financiamiento. Y esto nos preocupa porque, por supuesto, el país se vio realmente afectado en su participación y nos preocupa particularmente porque la mayoría de los países de Latinoamérica están en una situación similar, que creo que ya este sería el último año que se financia muchos de esos países, y lo cual tiene una implicación en nuestra participación regional. En particular, nosotros queremos hacer hincapié en la necesidad de revisar los parámetros de asignación del fondo a efecto de no favorecer solo algunos países y tomar en cuenta la participación que ha tenido histórica en el CODEX y, por supuesto, otros indicadores económicos que no nos dejen en tan bien posición solo en el papel y tan mala posición en la participación. Gracias.
Thank you for the observation. Zimbabwe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Zimbabwe also wants to thank the CODEX Trust Fund and in particular the donor countries. Would, however, want to urge Trust Fund to put focus on other areas of activity, which includes strengthening of contact points as well as capacity building in terms of food safety control within the countries concerned. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you for the observation. Papua New Guinea, you have the floor, please.
Papua New Guinea would like to go along with the other speakers, especially the CODEX Trust Fund that is supporting Papua New Guinea since it started. And we are so grateful that the Trust Fund is supporting Papua New Guinea in all technical matters, and we'd like to see that the capacity building to be increased in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Papua New Guinea, for being very brief. Next, Uganda, please. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Uganda would like to add its voice to the many who have spoken and thank the donors who have contributed the first fund. Uganda notes that there has been increased awareness as far as issues of CODEX are concerned at national level as a result of participation of member states in the forum of CODEX. We believe, Madam Chair, that the continued contribution from the Trust Fund will enable strengthening of national food control systems. We, however, wish to request that future efforts under the trust fund be linked to the FAO-WHO capacity building efforts. And lastly, Madam Chair, Uganda needs to note with appreciation the various trainings that has been carried out and the many training materials that have been availed under this fund. We thank you.
Thank you, Uganda, for the observation. We have Nigeria, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The delegation of Nigeria would want to express appreciation to the donors of the Codex Trust Fund. Nigeria is one country that has positively benefited from the Codex Trust Fund. One, because the Codex Trust Fund guideline has helped us to have a framework for participation in Codex meetings. We do not attend Codex meetings without having to meet and discuss positions, and this has actually helped us in developing our Codex work back home. I will not want to go through what my colleagues have already said, but I just want to mention that we have observed increased participation of African countries at the Codex meetings, which is, of course, is very good. Then the increased participation has brought many challenges. The various meetings and the frequency of Codex meetings has also created challenges back home. And we have also observed that the need to have infrastructure to support these challenges should also be looked into. And I want to make a proposal here that Nigeria is of the opinion that based on the strategic plan for Codex Africa, national governments in developing countries can also develop national strategic action plan. Why I'm saying this is if we have an action plan, we can work towards developing Codex activities back home. And why I'm also saying this is because we know that Codex Trust Fund will not last forever. We don't know when it is going to end, but we hope that it will not end soon, until such a time that we have reached our level of meeting up, because Codex now is moving at a very fast rate, and we have the challenge of also having to move at a faster rate, so that is a big problem. I want to thank the WHO Secretariat that has particularly played very good activities, even at the national level. They've been of tremendous help. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the observation. Sudan, you have the floor, please.
السوداني يبدو أن يعبر عن امتنانه للصندوق الاستئماني للدعم الذي ظل يقدمه للدول النامية منذ إنشائه ومن ضمن هذه الدول السودان كما نشكر الدول الداعمة للصندوق ونأمل في مزيد من الدعم من هذه الدول وغيرها من الدول المقتدرة السودان يؤيد الاقتراحات المقدمة لرفع قدرات الدول النامية ببرامج تدريبية تسبق الاجتماع الراتب للهيئة ويأمل السودان أيضا في مزيد من البرامج من منظمتي الفاو والصحة العالمية لرفع قدرات الدول النامية في الإعداد الجيد للمشاركة في اجتماعات الكودكس وكذلك في متابعة تنفيذ المواصفات والقرارات التي تجيزها الهيئة شكرا سيد الرئيس
Thank you, Sudan, for the observation. Issi, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The European community speaks as itself a major donor to the Trust Fund. And indeed, the contribution of the European community and Issi member states accounts for over 70% of total contributions. And it's heartening to hear the words of appreciation from the many speakers. But I'd like to highlight that this represents only a very small percentage of the overall assistance provided by the European community in the SPS field. For For example, we also fund similar trust funds in the OIE and the IPPC. And in addition, we fund a number of infrastructural and capacity building programs which complement the trust fund. But I think it's important to highlight the need for developing countries to themselves promote contributions towards the trust fund, because essentially the European community's development efforts are now demand-driven. In other words, the developing countries themselves identify their priorities. And unless my colleagues working in the development field are hearing strong support for the trust fund and complementary activities, frankly, they tend not to give it a high priority in the allocation of funding. So it's not enough for developed countries to hear in this committee the strong support for the trust fund, but it needs to be heard more widely, both at the bilateral level and at the multilateral level. Thank you.
Thank you, Issi, for the intervention. We have heard just now Brazil has already committed to contribute to the trust fund, and I do encourage other well-developing economies as well to come in and contribute to the trust fund. With that, I give the floor now to Mali.
Le Mali, par ma voix, voudrait adresser ses vifs remerciements au fonds fiduciaire dont la contribution a permis effectivement de prendre en charge la participation des membres du comité national du Codex aux différentes réunions techniques, ce qui permet effectivement d'accroître nos capacités.
Thank you for that observation. Kenya, you have the floor, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The delegation of Kenya would like to thank the donors that have contributed to the trust fund, and we appreciate what the Codex Trust Fund has done in increasing participation and in building technical capacity in the various countries. However, we also note that most of the committees, and considering the impediments that we may be going through sometimes, are hosted in countries other than, and at this particular point, I'll speak especially of Africa. And we would like to propose that perhaps if some of the committees can be hosted, even if not on a permanent basis, but even on a temporary basis, can be hosted in a strategic country in Africa, that would allow even more participation from the African countries and also contribute in building institutional capacity in terms of organization and management of Codex affairs, and also creating even greater awareness within the region of the Codex activities that perhaps would even make the different countries more aware and become more participatory in the Codex activities. And we think that in facilitating some committees to be hosted in the African country, it will provide a greater opportunity for more participation in the Codex activities. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenya. Just to respond to the question that you have raised, the Codex arrangement do provide hosting of Codex sessions in other regions, and I recall that several sessions of the Codex subsidiary bodies, the meetings has been held in the African region. With that, I'd like to give the floor to Lesotho. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Lesotho would like to thank the donors, the donor countries through the FAO WHO Codex Trust Fund for having enabled us to participate in meetings to enhance capacity building. We have been able to form the National Codex Committee in July 2006. That will be the implementation mechanism for the country in Codex-related matters. While it is unfortunate that two of our candidates were not able to attend meetings last year due to itinerary problems, we are grateful to notify the Commission that one candidate participated in the CC Africa meeting in January this year. And your continued support is appreciated. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for the observation. Paraguay, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En primer término, señora presidenta, en primer término, de más está decir que Paraguay desde un comienzo ha alentado esta iniciativa. En términos generales, con esta iniciativa del Fondo Fiduciario se ha fortalecido y aumentado la participación en las reuniones del Códex y de sus órganos auxiliares. En segundo término, alentamos a los donantes para que sigan haciéndolo y realmente esta es la única manera para que el proceso de normalización sea transparente. De igual manera que Costa Rica, también tenemos una preocupación con respecto a los parámetros utilizados para la clasificación. Realmente, en el caso de los países de América Latina, no se ajustan a nuestra realidad. Esa es una preocupación grande que tenemos. Por último, quisiera apoyar lo manifestado por Nigeria con respecto a la necesidad, que sería más eficiente aún y más productivo y sería más eficaz, que países de esa región, como países de nuestra región, puedan hospedar comités del Códex, como para que todo esto realmente haga que sea eficiente y eficaz la participación de los países en desarrollo en las actividades del Códex. Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, Paraguay, for the observation. Angola, please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Angola thanks the support that it has received from the Trust Fund that has allowed its technical to participate in some meetings. By the other hand, as the awareness for standardization matter is still very low, every year, Angola realized a meeting to put together every stakeholders and discuss issues related to food quality. For this meeting, we used to invite experts from other countries, mainly from Brazil and Portugal. And we have some difficulty to pay the costs regarding the travel and every cost for this expert. We would like to ask to request if the fund can support this cost. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Angola, for the observation. Malaysia, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Malaysia has also benefited from the trust fund and found it very useful. In this regard, we would like to take this opportunity to inform the Commission that Malaysia is making a small contribution to the Trust Fund for the enhanced participation in Codex for a period of 8 years commencing this year, that is 2007. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Malaysia. As I mentioned earlier, I do welcome other developing economies to contribute to the Trust Fund. Thank you. I do not see any flag up.
Botswana.
Okay. Botswana, you have the floor, please.
Are we on?
Yeah.
I should say you have been thanked enough. I just want to ask to, without adding more thanks, I want us to appreciate that even though Codex standards are voluntary, ultimately the relevance and impact of the activities of the organization should be judged by the number of states that have voluntarily put forth to these standards by making them into laws. And it is well and fine to have a number of people being aware and participating in Codex meeting, but I think I should add my voice to those who advocate that the fund provide more to strengthen capacity building. Specifically, one would want more capacity building coming in by way of having a trust fund program that is geared towards sensitization and awareness building amongst those people who are well positioned to legislate and make food laws, that is the politicians, and of course strengthening the contact points and making them more relevant in food legislation advisory committees in those countries that need the support. In my country, for instance, in the 10 years that or so that we have participated in CODEX and that we have had a food law, we have only managed to have 3 regulations, and that is not a good sign. Whereas on the other side, when it comes to the standards, we've had the standards organization in place for about 10 years now, and in the same period we've had more than 100 standards put in place, for the reason that it's simpler to put in a standard than to go through the legislative process of assenting codex standards, voluntary as they may be, into national law. Thank you.
Thank you, Botswana. I do not see any flag up. Okay.
Maybe you can give a floor to Peter Prechandu and you can conclude. Yeah. And then you can conclude your advice.
I'd like to give the floor to WHO to respond to there was suggestion by several countries on the need to revise the eligibility, the criteria for eligibility of countries. There was also suggestions from members to address capacity building in terms of infrastructure to be able to respond better to CODEX. And also, there were also questions on what exactly is needed now, whether it do we need to further enhance participation and also the need to improve capacity. With that, I give the floor to WHO, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I'd like to just touch upon a few of the things mentioned. You mentioned reviewing the selection criteria. We are already looking into that, and you would also see in the document there is already some suggestions as to how they could be reviewed. I would like to remind everybody that they were set up so that we have the poorest group gets most support and the richest group gets the least support. I think that was the thinking. I still think that's the general thinking, but we do acknowledge that there could be special cases where we need to have a revision of some of the criteria. There was mentioning of by several countries, recipient countries, that it seems that there is an effect of the trust fund and participation in CODEX that this could help strengthen national food safety systems, but it also seems that if we were able to go specifically into some of these countries and look at what are the inhibiting factors, then with very small activities there, supported by the trust fund, we could actually improve dramatically the efficiency of either participation in CODEX or the use of CODEX standards in national legislation. And I think that's one of the things that is also focused upon in the new report that we will discuss in the meeting tomorrow about the trust fund. So I think that's a very good point. It's been pointed out by a number of the countries here. There was also mentioning of having action plans in countries in relation to CODEX, to CODEX implementation and CODEX participation. It's very clear that the way forward is that we get the different ministries in countries, and I would say in some countries we have up to 8 to 10 ministries. I won't mention which countries these are. We have 8 to 10 ministries that are in some way responsible for food safety. Of course, that can be efficient, but it's very difficult always to get them together. But actually, the CODEX activities is, we know, are in some of these countries forcing these different forces together so that they can discuss how food safety should be improved in their country by the help of CODEX. And I think that's again, one of the ways that we could strengthen more in the future. I think it's a very, very positive development to hear that several developing countries will now also be supporting the CODEX Trust Fund. And this, I hope, will ensure that we can actually move on with the Trust Fund for the full 12 years life of the Trust Fund. As you know, it's 12 years. It started off in 2004, so it's probably going to end in 2016. At that time, everybody's participating actively, of course, in CODEX and have no problems with it, we think. Then I'd also like to, as a last point, maybe emphasize, put a little bit of emphasis on the, we have always tried to say that the Codex Trust Fund will try to enable participation in Codex, efficient participation. But we've also said we're not trying to do general capacity building. If we said that we were doing general capacity building with all this money, a number of the donors would say, hey, what is this now? Now you're doing double work again. We have a lot of other projects going on in relation to capacity building. Please focus on what you really want to do. I think it's the strength of the trust fund that is focusing on specifically helping countries to participate in this standard setting system. But I also agree that we could improve it a lot by specifically going into countries, analyze the situation, find out what the problems could be, the impediments could be, and then do something about it through the help of the Codex Trust Fund. That's not the same as general capacity building, building capacity in general in countries. I think that was the four main issues I'd like to touch upon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, WHO, for the clarification. Thank you for all the countries that have intervened on this agenda item. There is great appreciation among countries to the Codex Trust Fund, and indeed there are a lot of encouraging words that say that the Trust Fund has significantly improved the participation of developing countries in Codex. We also like to thank all the donors and so on. In summarizing, I would like to reflect if you can agree in the report that the Commission expresses its appreciation in the progress made in the operation of the Trust Fund, to the efforts made by FAO and WHO, and to the donors making a generous contribution in terms of financial and in-kind contribution. The Commission encourages current donors to continue to provide funds to the Trust Fund and invites potential donors, including the well-developing economies, to consider contributing to the fund to ensure its sustainability. And the Commission notes also that the WHO is currently revising the criteria for eligibility of countries. I hope members can agree with that summary that I've put forward. Okay, thank you so much. I'm reminded by the Secretariat we have 13 minutes maximum for agenda item 16. So we will move to this agenda item on other matters arising from FAO and WHO. There are five parts in this document, which is Elinom 07/30/9G and Elinom 030/9G Addendum 1. And except for part 4, which is just for information and will not be discussed, we will take one part at a time. So on part 1, the outcomes of recent FAO-WHO expert meetings, I would like to invite Ms. Lourdes Costa Rica from FAO to introduce the paper. The floor is yours, madam.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Como ya mencionada, el documento al que nos vamos a referir es el ALINORM 07309G. Me voy a referir exclusivamente a la parte número uno que resume los resultados de las reuniones recientes de la FAO y de la OMS. Pero primero que nada, yo quisiera hacer notar que todas estas reuniones de expertos a las que me voy a referir han sido posible gracias al esfuerzo de instituciones, países que han proporcionado información y al trabajo de los expertos que han colaborado con nosotros. Señores delegados, yo quisiera rápidamente, y en aras del tiempo, llamar su atención sobre tres aspectos fundamentales. En este documento, en la parte número uno, ustedes tienen una tabla, un cuadro, que resume los resultados y las reuniones que tenemos. Y me quisiera referir simplemente a dos hechos fundamentales. El primero de ellos es que tradicionalmente la FAO y la OMS de manera conjunta proporcionan asesoría a los diferentes comités del Codex a través del Comité Mixto de Expertos en Aditivos Alimentarios JECFA, las consultas mixtas de expertos sobre evaluación de riesgos microbiológicos YEMRA, la reunión conjunta sobre residuos de plaguicidas, el GMPA, pero ahora con el incremento de trabajo que el CODES ha tenido y la diversidad de aspectos que está tomando, la actividad de asesoramiento científico ha tenido también que diversificarse y ha tenido también que buscar alternativas para producir la asesoría que ustedes requieren. Es así, señores, que hemos tenido que tomar en consideración también los criterios establecidos por el CODES para establecer las prioridades. Y ustedes verán entonces en esta lista que tenemos aquí a continuación, que en primer lugar se ha mantenido la prioridad a las reuniones de JECFA, que en esta ocasión, en este periodo que estamos informando a ustedes, ha realizado la reunión número 67 y número 68, que en estas dos ocasiones se ha referido a la evaluación de aditivos alimentarios sin contaminantes. En este periodo de información no hemos realizado la reunión de JECFA sobre drogas veterinarias en alimentos, no solamente por limitaciones en el presupuesto, pero también por el problema que estamos enfrentando de la no disponibilidad de información para que estos grupos de expertos trabajen. De tal manera que en este periodo, además de las dos reuniones de JECFA que hemos mencionado aquí, hemos dado prioridad también a los trabajos del Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos, y ustedes podrán ver ahí que hemos tenido que abordar temáticas como son resistencia ante los antimicrobianos a través de una reunión de expertos de la FAO, la OMS y la OAI, que se realizó en Corea para tratar los aspectos relacionados con la acuicultura y el efecto en la aparición de esta resistencia. Asimismo, la OMS ha realizado recientemente una reunión para revisar la lista de antimicrobianos importantes en salud pública, y FAO, la OMS y AOIE van a realizar una reunión sobre este mismo tema en noviembre de este mismo año. Todo ello para favorecer la toma de decisiones que en los diferentes comités del CODEX están abordando este tema, y sobre todo también para considerar las necesidades de asesoría técnica que tendremos después de que la Task Force sobre resistencia antimicrobiana se reúna en octubre de este año. A continuación me referiré también a las actividades que se han desarrollado para apoyar los trabajos nuevamente del Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos. Se ha realizado una reunión de expertos sobre Escherichia coli con la colaboración del Gobierno de Irlanda en septiembre del año 2006, y una nueva reunión sobre la importancia de virus en los alimentos, que se realizó también con la colaboración de los Países Bajos. El resultado de estas dos reuniones permitirán a la siguiente sesión del Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos tomar decisiones sobre cuál serán el trabajo a desarrollar en estos importantes campos. En relación con la antes de pasar a otro tema, también quisiera informar a ustedes que, a petición también del Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos, se están iniciando trabajos para determinar cuál es la importancia de los microorganismos patógenos en frutas frescas y hortalizas. Se ha enviado una carta circular a todos los países a través del Códex Alimentario tratando de obtener información, y tenemos se ha distribuido a partir de esta semana un llamado de expertos y datos para este tema. Es un tema primordial, y de acuerdo con las discusiones que ustedes han tenido esta semana, el suministro de datos y también la identificación de expertos es primordial para nosotros. Pasando a otro tema también, ustedes en la discusión en esta semana se han referido a acuerdos y discusiones sobre el Comité del Códex en residuos de plaguicidas. Y también para ello, entonces, las organizaciones de manera conjunta han trabajado con el GMPR en la organización de la sesión que tuvo lugar en octubre en el año 2006, evaluando este tipo de problemas, y la próxima reunión se realizará el 18 al 27 de septiembre de este mismo año. Hablando de la diversidad de los temas que están siendo motivo de atención por parte de las organizaciones, la siguiente actividad que ustedes tienen también en su tabla se refiere a la elaboración de criterios acerca de las cargas anteriores aceptables para grasas y aceites. Este tema era muy importante para el Comité del Códex para Grasas y Aceites, que tenía detenido su trabajo en este tema. Finalmente se ha tenido el resultado de la consulta de expertos, se ha generado una carta circular para obtener comentarios sobre los criterios elaborados por esta consulta de expertos y esperamos que el Comité pueda continuar sus trabajos. También en las dos últimas actividades que ustedes tienen señaladas en la tabla, tanto en la página 3 y la página 4, se refieren a actividades relacionadas con para apoyar las decisiones también del Comité de Higiene de los Alimentos sobre los trabajos relacionados con la evaluación cuantitativa de riesgos microbiológicos y el manejo y la gestión de riesgos microbianos. Creo que uno de los resultados más importantes de la reunión, por ejemplo, que se realizó en Kiel fue el determinar que los países necesitan tiempo para llevar a la práctica una serie de criterios y poder obtener entonces una mejor asesoría para los puntos a seguir. Quisiera llamar también su atención al hecho de que además de realizar esta reunión de expertos, tanto la FAO como la OMS han enfatizado sus esfuerzos en dos aspectos. Uno, la renovación de las listas de expertos. Por ejemplo, la lista de expertos de JECFA para el año 2007 a 2011 ha sido concluida. Pero también hemos tenido un esfuerzo especial para determinar, para mejorar la comunicación. Nos hemos dado cuenta a través de la participación en diferentes comités del CODEX, señora presidenta y señores delegados, de que no solamente necesitamos producir un informe de una reunión científica. Ahora se nos ha pedido participar en los grupos de trabajo y es nuestra preocupación también hacerle sentir de que esto también implica un trabajo adicional para todos nosotros. Además de esto, se hizo un esfuerzo para tener una mejor manera de tener a su disposición las publicaciones de JECFA, ¿suficiente? Y las publicaciones de YEMRA. Y finalmente, no voy a entrar más en detalles puesto que nuestro tiempo se ha terminado, pero sí quisiera terminar haciendo una reflexión y transmitiendo a ustedes una información. En nuestras dos organizaciones, en la FAO y en la OMS, cuando se evalúa el trabajo de los grupos de expertos que estamos desarrollando, el criterio de evaluación no es el número de eventos programados contra el número de eventos realizados. No, el criterio de evaluación para poder tener una asignación de recursos y mantener la asignación de recursos es la siguiente. ¿Cuál es el impacto? ¿Cuál es el uso que el Códex y los países miembros están haciendo de los resultados de la asesoría científica? Yo quisiera dejar esto en su mente porque es importante que se está haciendo este esfuerzo con la colaboración de todos ustedes, entonces que estos resultados sean realmente utilizados. Y finalmente, señora presidenta, para terminar esta primera parte, quisiera informar a los delegados que en la sala están los secretariados, miembros de los secretariados de todas estas consultas de expertos, que estarán disponibles para responder cualquier pregunta. Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, FAO, for introducing the paper. And in view of time constraints, I'm quite reluctant to open to the floor for comments unless you have a burning question again. Otherwise, I wish, I do know that you can...
There's one burning question from Paraguay.
From Paraguay, okay.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Paraguay reconoce la gran importancia del asesoramiento científico que proporcionan la FAO y la OMS a través de sus comités mixtos de expertos. Ahora bien, con respecto a lo mencionado en el informe, como es de conocimiento de todos, el grupo de expertos para aditivos JECFA se reunió en su 68 reunión la semana pasada, por lo que nos permitimos consultar y manifestamos el gran interés de la República del Paraguay de contar con un informe preliminar sobre los resultados de la evaluación del esteviol glicósidos, que como mencionó anteriormente, tuvo que haber sido evaluado y finalizada la semana pasada esa evaluación, ya que fueron presentados todos los requerimientos y exigencias que había solicitado el JECFA en su reunión del 2004 y fueron presentados en tiempo y forma de acuerdo a los solicitados por el secretariado del JECFA. Gracias, señora presidenta, y gracias, doctora Costa Rica, por el informe.
Thank you very much for the observation, Paraguay. So as a summary on this item, the Commission notes the information on recent FAO. Sorry. Brazil, you wish the floor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, but just very briefly to say that the point raised by Paraguay is also of the interest of Brazil. So if possible, just a very brief information would be very useful, I think. Thank you very much.
Can I get FAO to respond as to when the report will be available?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, it's true that we had a meeting last 2 weeks. It's wrongly indicated in the paper that it was in Rome, but it was actually in Geneva. And it was, on the whole, a very successful meeting, a very full meeting with a lot of items on the agenda, both from food additives and contaminants. Regarding the steviol glycosides, was mentioned by Paraguay, we received information last year that there was information from countries that should be evaluated. The JECFA Secretariat had not initially put this substance on the agenda of this year's meeting due to the fact that we had received other information that that documents and studies were still being in preparation. Nevertheless, we agreed to put this substance on the agenda for re-evaluation. Looking at the requests made by the 63rd JECFA on the questions that they would like to have answered. So the committee evaluated all the information on the steviol glycosides, but was unable to complete the evaluation and decided to maintain the temporary ADI until next year, stating that the information did not raise any additional concerns, but that all the questions that were previously specified by the 63rd JECFA had not been fully covered. However, the committee was able to prepare full specifications for steviol glycosides. The summary and conclusions from the meeting will be available, hopefully, in 2 weeks' time on the Internet, and which will contain a summary of the deliberations of the committee on all the items. And the full report, of course, will be published by WHO, but this will take, as you all know, quite a long time, and hopefully we will have this report sometime early next year. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, FAO, for the clarification. Paraguay, you wish for the floor again?
Sí, gracias, señora presidenta. Agradecemos al secretariado del JECFA. Sin embargo, quisiéramos pedir aclaración porque no nos quedó muy claro algo. Si bien es cierto, al principio no iba a ser evaluado, no hubo acuerdo, sin embargo, en la agenda estaba establecido que se iba a evaluar el esteviol glicósido. Eso quedó claro, pues la respuesta que recibió mi país es que iba a ser evaluado. O sea, por un lado, tengo entendido que no hay duda con respecto a que se encontraba agendado. Ahora bien, la respuesta que queremos conocer es, ¿fue evaluado? ¿O en qué instancia? ¿A qué se llegó? Si es posible. Si bien es cierto que sabemos que va a estar disponible el informe. Desearíamos conocer un avance y, como dijimos, un informe preliminar del estatus de la evaluación de ese aditivo edulcorante natural, bioglicósidos. Gracias, Presidenta.
I thought I had explained the outcome of the assessment on the stevial glycoside. As I said, that all the information that we received from countries and from sponsors were evaluated, and that the conclusion of the committee was that although it did not raise any additional concerns, the committee decided to maintain the temporary ADI, as all the questions that had previously been specified by JECFA at its 63rd meeting had not been fully covered. We hope to have this substance on the agenda for next year's meeting, and we also have information that the outstanding information that we had already received information about last year will be available. So we will put this substance on the agenda for hopefully a final evaluation next year. In addition, as I said, the committee was able to prepare full specifications for stevial glycosides. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope Paraguay and Brazil is happy with the further clarification given by FAO. The report will be out soon. So on this item, the Commission notes the information on the recent FAO-WHO meetings and express its thanks to FAO and WHO, as well as encourages FAO and WHO to continue to assign high priority to the provision of scientific advice to Codex. With that, we move on to part two, report of conclusions of the FAO-WHO consultative process on provision of scientific advice to Codex and member countries as in Elinom 07/30/9G. I would now like to invite Mr. Izzadin Boutry from FAO and Mr. Jürgen Schlunz from WHO to introduce the document. Just a point, Paraguay still see your flag. Do you still have concerns on the previous agenda item?
Mil disculpas a todos los colegas ciudadanos del mundo, sin embargo, este es un gran interés para nuestro gobierno y quisiera pedir una aclaración con respecto a dos cosas. ¿Qué aspecto? Sí, por favor, les robo, este foro debe ser también utilizado para que cada país pueda traer sus preocupaciones, tanto de inocuidad, entonces les pido disculpas. Primero, con respecto a qué aspectos son los que están faltando y por otro lado, menciona la reunión del JECFA del próximo año. Quisiera saber si eso es posible, si el próximo año van a ser evaluados aditivos. Por favor, les pido mil disculpas, pero necesitamos esa aclaración.
I'm reminded by the Secretariat that this would not be the appropriate committee, the forum to address it. You could, of course, approach the JECFA Secretariat as well as FAO and WHO for further information. With that, thank you, Paraguay.
Gracias, Presidenta, pero quisiéramos que quedara constancia de nuestra preocupación, de nuestras consultas y la respuesta del Secretariado, y que este es un foro para que todos los países puedan emitir sus preocupaciones y que realmente tiene que ser de utilidad para los intereses de todos los países. Gracias.
Paraguay. Okay, according to the Secretariat, that the Codex Committee on Food Additives would be the right forum to raise this issue, and that you are free to contact FAO and WHO on this matter further. And with that clarification, we will note your concerns in the report and the clarification given by FAO. I hope you're happy with that. We'd like to move on to the next item. Brazil, do you want to record your reservation on this matter, please?
No, there is no decision taken. Thank you, Madam Chair. No, not a reservation. Just to complement, if JECFA could announce exactly what is the additional information that is needed, that would be one point. And then the second one would be in which session of JECFA in next year this item would be in its agenda, just to complement and to reiterate the importance of this issue also to Brazil. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Brazil. I meant concerns, not reservation. But can FAO reply to that question by Brazil, please?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, if you look at what was requested by the 63rd meeting and what was submitted, there will be in the summary and conclusions a more detailed list of what is still missing and what is still has to be provided. I don't think this is the time here in the Commission to go into the technical detail of what, and this will be available in a couple of weeks' time. And from this information, you will know what is going to be had to be addressed further to make the ADI a full ADI. And I tell you that we will have the substance on the agenda in the call for data for the next meeting in June 2008.
Thank you, Brazil, for the clarification. I'd like to give the floor now to FAO and WHO on part two, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be very brief since the time is running. The item, the part two of the of document, Alinom 0739G, provides an account of work undertaken by FAO and WHO in response to the Parliamentarian's request for a consultative process on the scientific advice provided by FAO and WHO to Codex and to member countries in the area of food safety. The consultative process was undertaken since 2003 and went through 2007. And you have the four bullet points on page 7 provide the activities that have been carried out under this consultative process, the last one being the meeting conducted by FAO and WHO on enhancing developing country participation in FAO WHO scientific advice activities, which was held in Belgrade, Serbia, Montenegro, 12 to 15 December 2005. Mr. Chairman, on the outputs of the consultative process, I would like to mention in particular three main outputs. One is the FAO WHO framework on the provision of scientific advice, which has recently been published as a provisional edition and will be published finally, hopefully, in the coming weeks. And this document provides full information on the procedures followed by FAO and WHO in the conducting the scientific advice, that is, all the expert meetings and panels that provide scientific advice to FAO, WHO and Codex. This document will become a basic document for all our activities, not only in food safety, but also in nutrition, and hopefully will increase transparency, will increase the independence, and also the the competence, let's say, of the FAO and WHO advice provided to Codex. The second output is the clear identification of needs for FAO-WHO scientific advice and criteria for the prioritization of requests. A document attached to the current ALI norm is part of part three, provides this list and as well as the advice that was provided by Codex on the Codex Executive Committee on the prioritization of these requests is being undertaken now, followed, let's say, by FAO and WHO in this particular field. Third outcome is definition of new approach to enhance the participation of experts and the use of data from developing countries in the elaboration of international scientific advice. This is another outcome which we feel will enhance the quality, also the international representation of the advice that is provided to Codex. Finally, Mr. Chairman, I would like to mention the establishment by FAO and WHO of the Global Initiative of Food-Related Scientific Advice, which will be presented tomorrow at the site event at 17 hours, and will constitute, hopefully, a facility that will enable FAO and WHO to meet the increasing cost for conducting the expert meetings and consultations that are required to underpin the work of the different committees of the Codex Sanitarius Commission. I will stop there, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Madam Chair, thank you. Sorry.
WHO, you like the floor?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, FAO, for reminding there is a site event tomorrow on this issue. And with that, I would like to ask the Commission to just note the information provided by FAO and whether that's agreeable to the Commission. You would have the opportunity to participate tomorrow in this site event on provision of scientific advice. So the Commission notes the information provided by FAO and WHO and welcomes and supports the FAO-WHO Global Initiative for Food-Related Scientific Advice, or GIFSA, and the Commission looks forward to the implementation of the recommendations of the FAO-WHO consultative process advice to Codex and member countries. With that, I'd like to move on to Part 3, the status of request for FAO-WHO scientific advice. I'd like to invite Mr. Jürgen Schlums from WHO to briefly present the paper. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the paper that we are already talking about, Table 1 defines the activities that we are now undertaking in relation to direct requests from Codex, and Table 2 is other activities. So we are doing scientific advice both for Codex and for member states. I just want to maybe first say that over the last 5 to 7 years, there's been a dramatic increase in the requests from member states and from Codex in relation to risk assessment advice. Microbiological risk assessment is totally new. Biotech is totally new. Antimicrobial resistance is totally new. Risk benefit is totally new. Therefore, the demands for new risk assessment and extra work in scientific advice has been very, very big, and that is why we are also saying that actually what is hurting now in relation to funding is scientific advice. I'd like to maybe underline a few of these items. Item number 2 in Table 1, assessment of benefits and risks of use of active chlorine. It's the first time we're going to do a risk-risk, or you could call it a risk-benefit assessment, where we compare a chemical risk with the microbiological risk that the chemical is trying to deal with. It's a new way of doing things. Number 7 is risk assessment of viruses in food. It's not been done before. It's a very important area. We know that there's a huge disease burden from viruses in food in all countries all over the world, and that has been started already. Number 8, risk assessment in relation to fresh produce.
prompted also by a number of outbreaks in a number of countries where E. coli and Salmonella have been contaminating fresh produce. It's a very important area for public health. And number 13, risk and benefit of consumption of fish and other seafood, which will be the first true risk-benefit assessment looking into some of the mercury issues, maybe also other chemical issues, and then versus the benefit of eating fish. In table two, we have some of the expert advice that we try to give to member states in general that are not directly aimed at Codex. I'd like to there underline number one, antimicrobial resistance, which is developing the list of critically important antimicrobials for humans, comparing it with the critically important antimicrobials for veterinary use, and trying to, in that way, set the stage for the Codex Antimicrobial Resistance Task Force and its work on trying to deal better with this problem that we've been doing in the past. I'd like to also maybe at the end underline that we are moving into new areas and we are considering FAO and WHO an expert meeting of some sort in relation to nanotechnology, which we believe is a very important area where we need to look at the safety issues also. With that, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for being very brief. Again, I'd like to ask the Commission whether it's possible to just note the information provided here. Thank you for your cooperation. So the Commission notes the information on recent FAO-WHO meeting and express its thanks to FAO and WHO, as well as encourage FAO and WHO to continue to assign high priority to the provision of scientific advice to Codex. Finally, we have part 5, FAO-WHO capacity building activities in food safety and quality, covering July 2006 to June 2007, and this is in Elinom 07/30/9G, Addendum 1. I would like to invite Ms. Maya Pinero from FAO to briefly present the paper. The floor is yours, madam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In honor of time, I will only highlight main issues and activities related to the Part 5 of Elinom 07/30/9G, Addendum 1. This document refers to the FAO-WHO capacity building activities in food safety and quality, and from the size of the document, you can see the ever-increasing number and types of capacity building activities, and please note that this is only for a one-year period. We're very happy to hear the continuous request for capacity building, in particular when we were just now discussing the trust fund, and these activities contained in this document are the ones that FAO and WHO do in addition to the trust fund. This is their regular capacity building activity, so you can see that most of the issues you have asked for have already been addressed or are being addressed, and these initiatives have been undertaken to upgrade the capacity of developing member countries in food safety and food quality, and in support of their effective participation in Codex, raising awareness, including strengthening of the Codex content points, and of course the implementation. This assistance has been provided at global, regional, and national level, and includes field projects, training in all its forms, and development of tools. These are all detailed in the document, so I will not go through them. I would like to point that activities have been conducted in all regions of the world. You can see them in the document. The subjects covered have been strengthening the food control system, legislation, HACCP for small and least developed businesses, safety of fresh fruits and vegetables, hygienic practices for coffee, mycotoxin prevention and control, laboratory quality assurance, risk analysis, microbial and chemical risk assessment, biosecurity, safety of GM foods, traceability, equivalence of food control systems, complying with SPS requirements. That's just to name a few. And of course, the work to establish the National Codex Committee. And many of you know that these projects have happened, and they've created your National Codex, helped create the National Codex Committee and the enhancements of your Codex work and harmonization of the national regulations with Codex. if just doing a quick count of the national field projects that are ongoing that you see listed, there's 10 African countries and the UEMOA that are receiving projects at this moment, 13 Asian countries, 13 in Latin America and the Caribbean, 10 in the Near East, 13 in Central and Eastern Europe, and there's also the projects for the regions of the Pacific Island and the Southwest Pacific countries. So you can look at the details and find the ones for the for your countries. I would also like to refer to the other area of the development of manuals, guidelines, and training materials for supporting this capacity building effort. For example, the Food Safety Risk Analysis, a guide for national food safety authorities. This was just published and it's available now in three languages, including the risk analysis with practical risk analysis case studies. There's also a way to maximize the efficiency and delivery of this capacity building. We're introducing new modalities, such as recognizing that the most important is to start with an assessment of a baseline level, a tool for strengthening the capacity of national food control systems guidelines to assess the capacity building needs has been developed. This is for countries to be able to assess and then work with them into identifying the gaps and where to go from there, precisely to prepare your national action plans. And this is already ongoing in many countries, including the SDDF facility is using this guide. There's also the new modality of e-learning courses. You will have a demonstration tomorrow, and you can see some of them at the atrium, in particular the one on microbial risk, a basic awareness course in microbial risk assessment, and the one on enhancing participation in CODEX activities. These are e-learning training courses that have been finalized and are ready, and they're also in CD-ROMs, and there will be more to follow. There's also a training package in implementing relevant CODEX tests related to food safety assessment of products derived from modern biotechnology. There's the mycotoxin sampling video as a training tool to be able to comply with the new regulations that include the sampling procedures. So as you can see, we have tried to keep up with your request on the new subjects, also cover all areas in the world, and including the smallest islands, and also to try to improve the modalities of delivering. This training of trainers is more and more done with these specific tools and through distance learning as well. There's also a new area of what is called integrated food safety, animal and plant health, which is called biosecurity, which is also a new area to try to address the food chain needs. And this includes all types of tools, assessment, risk analysis for the three disciplines and the biosecurity concepts. There's also been quite an innovative initiative of having a risk communication seminar with consumer organizations from the civil society and governments for the first time, just for consumers in risk communication, to try to bridge the gap of the risk communication. You know about the information exchange mechanisms that are constantly being updated, the portal on food safety, animal and plant health, as well as the InfoSan. They are receiving more and more requests. Just the portal has exceeded 400,000 monthly requests, and the InfoSan has now 157 members has reached. I do not want to exceed the time because I know we have to stop because of the translation, but I would like to mention that work is also ongoing on evaluation and measurement of the capacity building activities and approaches, and a package of type indicators to precisely based on the food control system building blocks is being developed, as well as a scorecard for use in measuring the impact of these capacity building activities. I encourage you to look in details at the document. It's very, very big, but so are our activities and the will to comply with all your requests. And I thank you for continuing to request our assistance.
Thank you for that information. I would like to ask the Commission if you can just note the information on this item. Yes. So as a conclusion, the Commission expresses its appreciation to FAO and WHO and notes the information provided. I apologize, there is some misunderstanding on our part, that I am told that WHO would like to say a few words on part 4, other mentors from FAO and WHO. WHO, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Very briefly, just to inform all member states here that the international health regulations have come into force 2 weeks ago. International health regulations are a legal instrument that binds all WHO member states to inform WHO on public health emergencies, including food safety emergencies. We have an InfoSan information note that is presented also down there in the atrium, together with a little bit of extra material that explains how InfoSan is managing food safety related events under the IHR, the International Health Regulations. I'd like to finalize this by saying that all member states that would think that they might not be member of InfoSan should really try to go home and discuss it with some of the other food safety authorities in the country and find out if they could contact us. As mentioned, we are around 160 countries. That means that we are still missing 34 countries to be members of InfoSan. But 160 is fine, and we have already linkages between all these food safety authorities in all these countries, and we have a number of events where we've been able to inform the network in a very timely fashion. We hope to be able to improve this also in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO, for that information. And on this item, I would ask that the Commission notes the information provided by WHO and to respond to the call by WHO for delegates of countries who are not yet members of InfoSan to promote InfoSan to the relevant authorities in your country, and for delegates of countries who are members of InfoSan to remind your emergency contact point and focal points of the need to inform the InfoSan Secretariat any changes in contact details. With that, I hope you can leave with that summary that I have provided to you. Then, with that, distinguished delegates, I thank you for your full cooperation and your kind support in advancing the agenda items of this commission, and I would like to hand over the chairmanship back to the chair of the commission, Dr. Claude Mosha.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am happy to be back, and I thank my colleague officers of the Commission, the three vice chairs, for giving me the opportunity for my body physiology to normalize. And I really want to make sure we finish the agenda items today. And can I start by requesting our good interpreters to see if they can give us some 10 extra minutes, please. Can I get a feedback from the interpreters, please? Can we get 10 minutes? Thank you very much. As the interpreters check with their chief interpreter, I wish to inform the Commission that we still have two agenda items and we have to cover immediately. And I would like to start with agenda item 20. And can I ask the Secretary please to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item basically covers two things. One is the announcement of the date and venue of the next session of the Commission, which will be tentatively scheduled to take place in Geneva, Switzerland, starting on the 30th of June until 5th of July 2008. So this is the first part of information. And the second part is that the Commission on Monday has agreed that to take up a matter on the discussion of simultaneous distribution of all language versions of Codex documents. And this was a point suggested by Colombia, and the decision at the moment of the Commission was to take up this matter if time allowed. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your assistance. And Colombia, please, could you, I give you 2.5 minutes.
Gracias, señor presidente. Espero en esta ocasión no ser interrumpido tan abruptamente como en la ocasión anterior. Gracias. Con respecto al tema planteado por Colombia, yo quiero recordar que el lunes planteamos una inquietud que tiene que ver con la aparición en forma asimétrica de la información en los diferentes idiomas. Entendemos nosotros que hay 3 idiomas oficiales, todos los conocemos. Sin embargo, hay casos curiosos, como el que, por ejemplo, Colombia presentó unas normas sobre frutas exóticas cuando los documentos fueron presentados en español, y fue uno de los últimos idiomas en donde se presentó la norma definitiva. El manual de procedimiento en su edición 16 prácticamente apareció sobre último momento. En la reunión del Comité de Principios Generales no lo teníamos disponible. Y así hay numerosos ejemplos en donde en las agendas de las reuniones sobre los últimos días nosotros encontramos de que los documentos aparecen solamente en idioma inglés o francés. No es que nosotros en nuestros países no podamos manejar estos idiomas. Lo que pasa es que, como reitero, y aquí está el representante, el asistente del director general en la primera intervención, decimos, no solamente debemos asistir, sino que debemos ser informados adecuadamente para poder participar efectivamente en estas reuniones. En nuestro país, nosotros tratamos de seguirle el curso, y creo que en muchos países con comités espejo de los comités de principios de temas transversales o asuntos generales y de productos. Sin embargo, ese seguimiento es complicado, puesto que si los documentos pertinentes no están en los idiomas respectivos, no lo podemos hacer. La propuesta concreta, entonces, la repito, es la siguiente, de que no se libere ningún documento en un idioma especial si no están disponibles en las 3 versiones. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Colombia. I note that has also been raised, that concern has been raised by several delegations in the course of the discussion of several agenda items today, and this will be noted in the report. And there's no time for me to allow some comments from the room, unfortunately, but I can promise you that will be noted in our report. And at this juncture, ladies and gentlemen, can I ask the Secretary, since we shall be losing some translation or interpretation, to explain the voting procedure, if there will be any. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 10 minutes or 11 minutes from now, we will automatically lose interpretation, and I believe that with the consent and willingness of the all delegations, we can continue to hold some business without interpretation, and if everybody so agrees. And the any business that may be left over after 5:40 would be a roll call vote. So the top table will announce the name of the country, starting from one country of choice, and we will proceed on an alphabetical order. So the top table will announce the name of the country. The head of the delegation or his alternate, whose country name has been called on from the top table, is kindly requested to proceed towards that end of the room where there is a voting booth. And my colleagues, my staff, will assist you to cast a vote. Afterwards, we have to count the votes, and it might take up to 3/4 of an hour. Then the announce will be made tonight after the counting of the vote is over. And the announcement, we will try to make an announcement in 3 languages from the top table. We do our best effort.
Can I seek the concept, the concept of this commission if we agree that's how we are going to proceed after we have lost the interpretation facilities? Thank you very much. Then we shall finish our agenda item after losing the interpretation facility. Thank you. Can we continue, Secretary, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In that event, it will be the last piece of real work, substantive work of this session of the Commission, and the only remaining item would be the adoption of the report, which will start 10 o'clock on Saturday. 10 o'clock on Saturday. For those delegations wishing to have a breakfast on the FAO premises, the policy bar on the ground floor this morning will be open from 8 to 10. So there is a possibility for you to get the refreshments. The draft reports will be available in 5 languages and at the document desk starting at 9 o'clock. Therefore, you will have 60 minutes to review the draft reports, which will be outcome-oriented, the Secretariat's promise, and it will be adopted paragraph by paragraph starting at 10 o'clock. Mr. Chairman, this would allow me to take the Commission back to the agenda item 19. And agenda item 19 consists of confirming the chairmanship or the host governments for each of the Codex subsidiary bodies. It contains 2 tables. At the end of the document, there is a short table mentioning 6 coordinating committees. The presidency of these committees are and have been assigned by the conduct of the appointments of coordinators. So we do not need to discuss this item, and we have to confirm the presiding countries for the other Codex committees and task forces, whether they are active or adjourned sine die. If there is only one country wishing to continue to serve as a host government, the Commission can take note and express its wish and thanks to the country volunteering to host that committee. And if there is more than one country wishing to host a committee, then the matter needs to be settled in accordance with FAO rules by the secret ballot. With this explanation, Mr. Chairman, we suggest to start from the beginning, and if there is any committee for which there is more than one candidate, we can note their intention and skip that matter for the later voting and complete the confirmation of the other subsidiary bodies first. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And before we lose the interpretation, the Commission really wish to express appreciation and gratitude for the efforts and resources put into this Codex Committee works by the host countries. And can I start with Codex Committee on Milk and Milk Products, member responsible New Zealand, and status active.
New Zealand,
please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm happy to confirm that New Zealand is willing and able to host this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. The next one is Codex Committee on Cocoa Products and Chocolate. Member responsible Switzerland and status Synedale. Switzerland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to confirm our will to continue hosting this committee.
Thank you, Switzerland. The next one is Codex Committee on Fats and Oils. Member responsible, United Kingdom, status active. United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The United Kingdom has had the honour of hosting the CCFO for the past 44 years and is proud of the committee's achievements in that time. I would like to thank the Codex and FAO secretariats for their assistance and guidance over that time and all members for their active participation. However, at this stage, the United Kingdom would like to offer the host of this committee back to the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, United Kingdom. Again, the Commission really appreciates the efforts and resources that were put into this. In the wake of this committee by the United Kingdom. And are there any members wishing to host this committee? Malaysia, I see Malaysia. I see Argentina.
Can you give me the floor?
Secretary, please.
Because we have noted two countries wishing to take over the committee from the United Kingdom, we shall organize the secret ballot immediately after the review of this table. For the sake of the secret ballot, we have to we have two more volunteer countries this time to serve as tellers, because two candidate countries are one from Latin America and the other from Asia. I would suggest if one country from Europe could volunteer to serve as teller, and one country from Africa could serve as teller. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Can we have the volunteering countries, please? United Kingdom and Ghana. Thank you very much. And then, Secretary, again, please.
Tellers will be kindly invited to observe the voting process as well as participate in the counting exercise, which would take place in Canada Room. And I also extend invitation to one representative each from Malaysia and Argentina to take part in, if they so wish, in the counting of votes as observers. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And we need to really confirm that they are supposed to be observers and they are not supposed to do the counting. The next committee on our list is Codex Committee on Sugars. Member responsible, United Kingdom, status Synedale. United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chair. The United Kingdom is content to continue to host this committee while it's adjourned Synedale. Thank you.
Thank you, United Kingdom. The next one is Codex Committee on Food Additives. The member responsible is China, status active. China, please.
China will be happy to continue to host the Codex Committee on Food Additives. Thank you.
Thank you, China. The next one is the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods. The country is the Netherlands and it's active. The Netherlands, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, my pleasure to confirm that we are happy to continue to host this committee. Thank you.